You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Here's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Wednesday, the 13th of March, 2024. Later on Market Day, we'll speak with Hebe Chen from IG Markets about the day on the market, including a stronger-than-expected US inflation report. But first to property, where a new report has shed more light on the growing intergenerational wealth divide in Australia caused by higher interest rates and the impact it's having on housing markets. Digital settlement company PEXA says 28.5% of all property purchases on the nation's east coast last year was made entirely with cash. That's 1.5% more than the previous 12 months, meaning more than one in four homes were bought without a mortgage. For more, I spoke with PEXA chief economist Julie Toth. So who are these people making purchases in cash?
That is the big question, isn't it? I think a good clue actually comes from the census. Bear in mind that, you know, in 2021 and previous censuses, around a third of households in Australia were owner-occupied without a mortgage. So that gives us our first clue. The second piece of crucial information comes from the postcodes and the locations, the types of properties that are being purchased in cash. And that's telling us that it's largely the sea change, tree change story across regional Australia, with older Australians downsizing or perhaps using savings or other assets in order to purchase those homes. So the postcodes with the largest shares of cash purchases are across our regional areas, particularly in Queensland.
So where are they getting this cash from?
Ricardo, we're seeing a few different scenarios arise. As I said, we've got the sea change, tree change retiree group. They're largely funding these purchases from existing homes. So it's very much a case of those who are already in the property market and they're making the move to another property without needing to take out a mortgage. The other group, however, is largely in the inner city suburbs and particularly, you know, Melbourne 3000, Sydney CBD, Brisbane, Gold Coast and Surfers. We are seeing an investor pool there that are using cash purchases in the sense that they don't necessarily need a mortgage on this property to fund that purchase. So either funding it from other types of finance or from other assets, or in the case of international investors, they may be bringing the cash for that purchase in without requiring a local mortgage.
What do you think all of this says about equitable access to the housing market and the problems that it throws out?
That's a really good question. It speaks to the sharp divide we're seeing between those that are already in the market, those who have already got assets that they can use to fund their next purchase, and those that are still trying to break in. So, you know, very large share, an increasing share of residential sales going to those that are already in the market and don't require mortgage financing.
And finally, what does this mean about the impact of higher interest rates in terms of the housing market? And higher rates are meant to slow down the economy. And again, it plays into that inequitable access to the market, right?
Ricardo, one of the puzzles we've seen through the last 2 years of rising rates has been the remarkable resilience of Australia's property market. So while we had rising rates, we also saw house prices and transaction volumes recover, which is really unusual. That hasn't happened in previous cycles. And I think the size of this group who don't require mortgages to fund their purchases helps explain some of that resilience. It also suggests that, you know, that the burden of higher mortgage costs and, you know, conditions to get mortgages is really falling on the smaller group who are trying to break in. Those that are already in the property market definitely showing more resilience and less susceptible to those rate rises.
That is Julie Toth there, the chief economist at PEXA.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
to the Australian share market now, which did rise. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.2% to 7,729. For more, I spoke with IG market analyst Hebe Chen. So Hebe, US inflation a little stronger than expected, up to 3.2% annually, but the market still rose, both here and the US. Why? And what does it say about the future expectations of interest rate cuts globally?
Well, yes, you're right. I think the market did deliver a bit of a surprise movement today, that given that the inflation is hotter than expected, the market seems to feel quite a sense of calm in the face of the higher or the sticky inflation. Well, I think the market or the investors is not expecting a rate cut will come very likely in June, but actually has quite firmly believe that the cut will come regardless of what sort of the pathway the inflation choose to follow. And that's quite a strong message that was sustaining the markets higher. But the risk there is also is that given the inflation data today, that's very likely will encourage Fed or even RBA to taking a bit of cautious move in the upcoming meetings, which meaning that quite unlikely will be stay quite dovish as the market expected they will.
So locally, which sectors are leading the gains and why?
So today in the Australian market, we just move up like marginally 0.3% higher. But out of that, the biggest gainers are coming from the retail sector, coming from the real estate sector, as well as the financial sector. One of the reasons is they sort of tracking was of the quite strong performance in the past months. All of these three sectors jumping up as much as 4% in the past 4 weeks, but also it sort of mirrored the optimism from the Wall Street that because these three sectors tend to benefit the most from a lower rate environment.
We've been keeping a close eye on relations with China lately and talk about the impending removal of wine tariffs on Australian wine. And this had a pretty big impact on the company Treasury Wine Estates today.
Yes, the Treasury Wine share price jumping up as much as 9% today because the discussion about the Chinese government will remove the tariffs on the Treasury Wine or all the Australian wine, it seems to be quite likely, given that we heard from the Chinese ambassador in Australia saying that they seem to think the reviewing process and the investigation process is in the right direction and on the right track. That will be quite a big news, actually a huge news for the Treasury Wine, because if you're looking back before the tariff, that this is a company that benefit as much as billions of revenue coming from China, 40% of profit coming from China. So even that we're not expecting a remove of that restriction will sort of bring back the old time height quite immediately, but definitely it's a good start for the Australian Wine as, of course, the Treasury Wine.
The other company which saw some big movement today is Liontown Resources, who received some support via a debt deal. What does this say about the viability of lithium producers?
Well, in the lithium space, it's still quite a mixed picture, as we know that lithium price is dropping as much as 60% in the 6 months. But just purely for the Liontown, I think this is definitely a huge catalyst for the business because they get the $550 million debt facilities, which will be used a huge chunk of money to finance a highly anticipated project in Western Australia called Castling Valley. And so what, as you can expect it, that the quite a big support of financial support at this quite a bit tricky timing will not only strengthen the confidence for the business outlook, but also long-termly giving this support will definitely increase the production capacity for the business to stand in this getting competitive industry more long-termly and more successfully.
And finally, where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
Well, I think given that we are seeing all-time high everywhere, I think that if you stay positive about that, we can see the opportunities actually coming from everywhere. But apart from the stock prices, I want to be just focused on sort of the other asset class like gold prices pushing up to all-time high as well, which I also expecting they will keep doing so because of the upcoming catalysts like weakening US dollar, the geopolitical tension, the upcoming elections. They are sort of catalysts will continue to fit into the strong rally for the precious gold. So I think that for that sectors, I still quite positive of that. Cryptocurrency is another one that attracted quite a lot of spotlight recently. they also enjoy some of the upcoming catalysts. So these are the sectors I'm still quite positive about the near term and also the midterm outlook for this particular field.
That is Hebe Chen there from IG Markets.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.